Good evening. How y'all doing? Good to see you. Good to see you. Hopefully all is well. Amen. That's great. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's pray. Father, we come in the name of Jesus to give you praise and honor and glory and to say thank you, Lord God. We are so thankful, Father, for all your goodness, for all your grace, for all your love, and for all your mercy, Lord God, that you have shown towards us. Lord, we thank you for this school, Father, and we thank you for our apostle and the anointing that you placed on him for us, Lord God. Thank you for the revelation and the manifestation. We give you all the honor and all the glory, all the praise for what you're going to say to us this night. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The last time we met, we completed chapter 6, Obstacles to Prayer, and we went back and we reviewed unforgiveness, and we talked about how important it was, you know, for us to forgive. Then we began the chapter on the different types of prayer. And, it, you know, I began to share with you, you know, I had been in the church a long time, and I only knew the Our Father prayer. That was it. And so when I read a book, and this man was talking about different kinds of prayers and rules, you know, for each kind of prayer, it just blew me away. I couldn't receive it when I read it, so I had to put it up. But then finally, I began to... I guess I was being taught, and I began to understand, you know, what he was talking about. And so our author, you know, he gave us the 12 kinds of prayer. That's what he called prayer, 12 types. Now, he came up with 12, but one of them is repeated. And it is the one that we're discussing now, the prayer of praise and worship. And he did that because he said you start your prayer with praise and worship, and you end your prayer with praise and worship. And our foundational scripture for this segment is Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. And when you look at that, it's saying, you know, praying with all. You see that word all when you look at that? So, you know, it's telling you there's more than one, more than one type of prayer. Just as a little quick review, he says the prayer, and we began the prayer of praise and worship. This kind of prayer is used to worship God for what he is and who he is and for what he has done for us. That's what praise and worship is. And then he says, what is praise? It means to honor, to glorify, to admire, to celebrate God's goodness and his wonderful works. The last time we met, we looked over in 2 Samuel chapter 6, where David danced, remember that, before the Lord, with all his might. That's the way I think we sing it, huh? And how his wife despised him. And then we saw that there were repercussions that happened to her. But one of the students pointed out to me after class something else that I said in the last session that I wanted to emphasize because it's what our apostle has been teaching us. I said, praise means to express a favorable judgment. Mm-hmm. A favorable judgment. Now, that should jog your memory. Apostle taught us about praying. Remember, he talked about the battlefield and then the courtroom. Right. Amen. And then he told us that we never, ever want to start in the battlefield. That we want to go before God and let God give us a what? Judgment. Amen. And that's what, believe it or not, that's what, when I saw, when she pointed that out to me, and it's like, well, yeah, I read it. I say, but that's right. See, we don't ever want to leave one thing and go on to something else. What we want to do is take what we've learned and keep bringing it all with us. Just keep bringing it all with us because it's all working together for our good. Always remember that, okay? Because, you know, here this author, I don't know when he wrote this book, but our apostle just taught that to us about the praying from the judgment. Is it judgment seat? I've forgotten his exact words, but that's where we want to pray from. We want to get a judgment, and then we're ready to go to battle. Amen? So just remember that. I said praise changes the priority. This is just a review. In our lives, from ourselves to God. When you start praising God, you're no longer thinking about yourself. Your mind is focused on God. Praise is a conscious decision. You know, this is something that you have to decide. You have to make up your mind. I'm going to praise God. It's an act of your will. And then we looked at Hebrews 13 and 15. Let us offer the sacrifice of praise. Remember, we looked at that. And then we talked about what is the sacrifice. And the author says that a sacrifice of praise is the kind of praise that you give to God out of obedience. Regardless of how you feel. Doesn't matter how you feel. I'm going to obey God and I'm going to praise him. We looked at the word T-H-U-O. And the Greek word, it's the Greek word for sacrifice, which means to kill or assassinate with purpose. When you offer a sacrifice of praise to God, what you're really doing is killing your pride. Okay, this is a review. Killing your pride. Killing your selfishness, killing your self-righteousness, your laziness, your tiredness, and the desires of your flesh. Amen? Amen. Talking about the sacrifice. You know, when you praise God, even when you don't feel like it. Okay? What should you do when you don't have the desire to praise or worship God? Your author asks. He says, you begin to offer your sacrifice of praise. You kill everything that is holding you back. And then you want to adore him. Amen? Amen? All right. I think this is where we left off. He says, when should you praise God? God is worthy of your praise and your worship all the time. All the time. We talked about it already. Beginning your prayer, praising God for the things that he has done. Praise is the way that we make room for God in our lives. You know, I never thought of it that way. It's the way that we make room for God in our lives when we begin to praise him. Now, I'm going to have you looking at a couple of scriptures. And, you know, I prefer the King James. That's just me. Our author prefers the New King James. Turn to Psalm 34 with whatever you have. I don't know what you have. Psalm 34. And we're talking about when should you praise God. In Psalm 34. Verse 1, and I think I want to read down to verse 3. That's why you need your Bibles, okay? Psalm 34, beginning at verse 1, it says, I will bless the Lord, look here, at all times. His praise shall when?
Continually.
So when do we praise him? Continually, all the time. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Verse 2. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof, listen, and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Amen. As verses 1 through 3, Psalm 34, talking about when should you praise God. Then he goes on and he gives us some principles of praise. He says you don't need a special reason to praise him. I remember saying something about this too. You're griping and you're complaining. You know, when we gripe and when we complain, it destroys the atmosphere created by praise. So, you know, you come to church and you participate in praise and worship, and then on the way home you start griping and complaining. What we gonna eat today? I ate that last week. I don't want that today. Well, it destroys that atmosphere that you have created with your praise and your worship. Amen? So always, always keep that in mind. You want to keep that atmosphere. And we're gonna look at them. I'm getting ahead of myself. We're gonna look at that a little bit later. The atmosphere created by praise. And then the author says you need to create your own concert talking about your concert of praise. Create your own. And he says, not just for, and don't just settle for attendance only. Okay, you don't want to just attend. You want to have your own concert. Amen. And then I added, or listening to others. How many times? I mean, we got some praises in this church. I mean, that's all I could tell you. We have some men and some women who know how to praise God, and it does your heart good to sit there and watch them. But it's doing them so much good to praise, and you just watching. Don't just watch. Jump in there, you know, go ahead on and praise God for yourself. Amen. Then he goes on, he says, biblical ways on how to praise God. Now, most of these, we're already familiar with them, but he gives us a number of them. He starts off with singing. He says, this is the most common way to praise God. Over in Psalm 30, verse 4. He says, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Amen. Sing unto the Lord. Who are you singing to?
The
to the Lord. We have to always keep that in mind. That's when you're praising. But, you know, we know we've been in some environments where folks are just singing to entertain. No, it's not to entertain. It's to give glory and honor to God. And then over in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, we read, speaking to yourselves in psalms, look at that, and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, we were just talking about this the other day. We were talking about our foreparents. You know, our elders, my elders, I'm your elder. I mean, amen. But those people knew how to praise God. They didn't know and have the understanding that we have today, but they knew how to praise God. Amen. I mean, I can think back, you know, to those times. My grandmother had to walk to church, and I mean, they would have the best time. No music either. But praising God, even at home, she was walking through the house and she was singing a song and she was praising God all of the time. But we've gotten so modern. We've gotten so modern. We turn our TV on. We turn our CD on. We let them praise, you know, for us. No. We need to praise for ourselves. Amen. Praise for yourself. Okay, so singing, that's the most common way. Then he goes on to shouting. He said, in the Hebrew, this word is R-A-N-A-N, Renan, which means to shout and sing with power. Shout and sing with power. Amen. To shout is to let out a gust of wind from your mouth. And if possible, the force of that wind should break stones in half. To rupture, look, it means to rupture the ears with a powerful sound. And then I remember Joshua and Jericho over in Joshua chapter 6. You know, he says, shout, for the Lord has given you the city. And those people shouted. And then he got instructions. He says, we're going to march around the wall. And then on the seventh time, amen, we're going to shout. All right, Joshua 6. Let me get to it right quick here. Joshua, the 6th chapter and verse 20. Shout, for the Lord has given you the city, is found in verse 16 of the same chapter. Verse 20. So the people shouted after the seventh time. Remember that? He went around 6, and then on the seventh time, he shouted. He says, so the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. Amen. What a shout. Amen. With a shout. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Then the next biblical way of how to praise God. So we got singing, we got shouting. He says laughing. Now laughing is rare. This is what he says. He says, you know, this is rare. This is a rare form of praise. But when you experience this form of praise and begin to laugh, sometimes uncontrollably, people around you will think that what is happening is weird. This too is another way to praise God. And then he took us to Job chapter 8, verse 21. He will fill your mouth with laughing and your lips with rejoicing. Talking about God. God did that. Amen. Then another biblical way is thanksgiving. When you give thanks, look at that. You are praising God. Isn't that something? When you give thanks, you are praising God. 1 Chronicles 23 and 30. I had some of these turned back. First Chronicles 23 and 30. And to stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord, and likewise at even. Amen. I mean, talking about in the evening time. Do it in the morning and then do it in the evening. Thank God. And then he says, bowing down. This is when you get on your knees and bend over as a sign of humbleness before God. This is an act of respect and reverence for God. Amen. Amen. Kneeling down. Psalm 95 and 6. Oh, come, let us worship. Let us bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Amen. Kneeling down before your God is an act of humbleness and honor to Him. This is where you recognize that He is God and that you are His child. Amen? Amen. Amen. And then applauding. Psalms 47:1, that's the one that says, clap your hands. Clapping is praise. Amen. It demonstrates your appreciation for God. You're giving Him the applause. You're giving Him the applause. He said, this form of praise expresses His greatness when words are not sufficient. You know, I went to a church and they sang that song, when I can't say a word, I just wave my hand. Well, you know, the author is saying here, when I can't find the words, I'm gonna just clap. Amen? Amen. And then dancing. He said, this is movement of your entire body as you praise God. This is Psalm 150, and then we're going to read that entire psalm in just a few minutes. And then the author says in Luke 10:21, it says, and they rejoiced in the spirit. In the Greek, it means to jump for joy, talking about rejoicing in the spirit. In the Hebrew, it means to turn many times in the air while under the influence of violent emotion. To rejoice means to spin or rotate in the air. We are sometimes motivated to do this, but we don't. Why? We are ashamed. Amen. You know, can you just imagine just turning around? But sometimes you're motivated to do that. Amen. In the dance, and it's in our best interest to go ahead. Go ahead and do it. You know, go ahead. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. You know, we're praising God and God is working something out. We're going to find out more about His presence in just a few minutes. Amen. And then raising your hands. Psalm 63 and 4. I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. Psalm 150. And I'm going to read that entire psalm. I decided. Amen. I think the author only gave us verse 1. And then we won't have to read it because he's gonna refer to 150 a little bit later. Psalm 150 says, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and the harp. Praise him with the timbrel and the dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. And this is the verse that we're familiar with. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. Yes. Talking about some of the biblical ways to praise God. And then he goes on to talking and singing in tongues. Now, all of this can happen during prayer. I want you to know you're praying. All of these things that I just outlined, they can happen in prayer. And I mean, some of us have observed or experienced or done some of all of these things. Amen. In prayer, praising and worshiping God. 1 Corinthians 14. This is the talking and singing in tongues. I thought I had that one turned back, but apparently not. Okay. 1 Corinthians 14. I'm going to read verses 14 and 15. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Verse 15, what is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, talking about praying, singing in other tongues, and I will sing with the understanding also. Amen. And then the other one, other ways of praising God is worshiping him with music and instruments. And he refers to Psalm 150 that we already read. Amen. Then he says, why should you praise him? Because praise invites God into your surrounding. This is important. When you begin to praise God, you are inviting him into your surroundings. Invites God to take control of your day and make it pleasurable. God is worthy of all praise. And then Revelations chapter 5, verse 12. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. Amen. Worthy is the Lamb. Now, Apostle shared something with us. He said, who did he receive that for? Amen. Who did he receive it for? He said, you know, when he said, worthy is the Lamb to receive power, who did he receive that power for? He received it for us. Amen. He already had it. But he had to receive all of this for us. Power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. Amen? Amen. For us. Now you know why we need to praise him. Amen. All right. Then he gives us, the author gives us 13 principles concerning praise and worship. 13 principles. So the other thing that he gave us was biblical ways to praise him. Remember? The shouting, the singing, the kneeling, the applauding. And then he gives us some principles concerning praise and worship. And I counted them and it's 13. The first thing he says is, God does not need your praise. Amen. He does not need your praise. I believe I read this morning, we have our scripture reading. You know, we're all reading the same chapters. And, you know, Jesus says, you know, they were praising him, praising him, praising him. And they say, oh, make them shut up, make them shut up. And he says, well, if these don't praise me, the stones. The day he said stones, the other chapter he said the rocks. Amen. Yeah, they'll praise me. So let them praise me. He does not need your praise. If God needed your praise before he could act, then he would be limited by your praise. And he is not limited by anything. Amen? Praise does not change God. So, you know, if you don't praise him, don't be condemned, feeling guilty. It's not going to change him. He's already made up his mind. Amen? What he wants to do for you. He's just trying to get you to accede and agree with it. Amen? Praise changes and affects your life. See, you need to praise. You're the one need to praise. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise attracts God to your surroundings in such a way that you will feel confident and able to overcome any adverse situation. Now you understand why praise and worship is so important in our church services. You know, because our praise is what attracts God to our surroundings. Amen. When we praising God and worshiping God, he said, let me go down there and let me see what's going on. Let me see what I could do for him. Amen. Amen. Praise, another principle. Praise changes every impossible situation into victories. Praise, our author says, based on faith, gives thanks to God for the things, look at this here, he plans to do before he does them. I mean, I don't know if you've ever had an opportunity to do that. But when you know, okay, let's go back to receiving that judgment, you know, getting your judgment. That means what? It's already done. You know, I like Ephesians 1:1-3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath, he's already done, hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. So, you know, when you begin to praise God from that standpoint, knowing that it's already done, then you're praising him and thanking him for what he's going to do. Yes. Amen. You know, you're not asking him about healing. You're praising him because with his stripes, you were already healed. Amen. Yes. Jesus took care of all of that. Amen. Yes. So we can say thank you for what's going to happen in the future. Then you should begin and end each prayer with praise and worship. We've said that several times. To praise is to seek God, and to worship is to be found by him. You praise him, and then he finds you. Amen? Isn't that something? Amen. The goal of praise is to create an atmosphere, there we go again, that enables God's presence to descend upon us. Amen? When we praise him, then, you know, he can come into our environment and descend upon us. Our author says, praise is initiated by you. Worship is the answer that God gives in response to your praise. Amen. You know, we said, I worship you, I worship you, I worship you. You know, and I heard apostles say not long ago, a lot of times we think we're worshiping God, but actually what we're doing is praising God. Amen. We're just praising. Amen. Because the worship, hallelujah, comes from when he invades our environment. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise, I said, is initiated by you. Worship is the answer that God gives in response to your praise. Praise is something that you do. Worship is something that God loosens. And my word was releases. You know, God release when we praise. Hallelujah. Praise is the structure that you build. It is God's house. He inhabits. There we go. He inhabits the praises of his people. Amen. Worship is when God moves in that house. You build it with your praise, and then God moves in. Amen. Amen. We cannot generate worship because it is completely dependent on God. It's something about it when he show up. You know, when he come on the scene, you know, it's something happened to you. And so your praise then changes from praise to worship. But it's only when he comes on the scene. Amen? So you praise him till he show up.
Yes.
Glory to God. We can waltz, your author says, we can waltz right into worship through praise. Yes. It is God's prerogative to respond to our initiative. Amen. Yes. It's up to him. Glory to God. And then he goes on and he talks about prerequisites needed to dwell in his presence. And he starts off with truth and purity. God is looking for true worshipers. I put John 4:23-24. I think your author uses another scripture. I'll have to look at it. Pardon? Matthew 15:8. Okay. But just for your reference, I used, you know, you may want to put it in your notes, John 4:23-24. He is looking for people whose words and actions are in harmony with their hearts. Oh, my God. Words, action, and your heart. And when he's talking about heart, what did we learn from our apostle? That he's talking about your soul. In this case, he's talking about your soul, your mind, your emotions, your will, and your conscience. Amen? Amen. So he want all of that to be. Ooh, that word alignment is coming up now. You know, because the apostle's been telling us about aligning ourselves. And, you know, we want our spirit, our soul, and our body all to be in alignment. Amen. So the author uses the word harmony. Harmony. He wants everything to be in harmony. He's looking for people whose words and actions are in harmony with their souls. Amen. And then he goes to Matthew 15:8. These people draw near to me. Remember that? With their mouth. But then he said that, doesn't he say their heart is far from me? Yes. Amen. So your mouth, there's got to be agreement and alignment between what you say and what's in your heart, what's in your mind, what's in your mind, what's in your soul. Amen. And then Psalm 24:3-6. Let me find that one. I only had a word or so. Psalm 24:3-6. Okay. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Amen. Amen. So he's talking about truth and purity. This is one of the prerequisites needed to dwell in God's presence. Amen. Then he goes on to integrity. Okay. Well, I'll share with you. Okay. The author says, God is upright in thought, word, and actions. Do not come into his presence unless you cleanse your He says spirit. But you know what we've been taught? Amen. To cleanse your soul. Amen. And I had a little note in the margin here. I said, your spirit does not need cleansing. Amen. We are born again. Our spirit man has the nature and the ability of Almighty God. Amen. So in my spirit, if I'm born again, now if you're born again, if you're not born again, that's something different, amen? But if you are born again, your spirit man does not need cleansing. Glory to God, and we thank God for that. But your soul is full of, let me see, I don't want to say full of sin, full of some things, some wounds, some sin, and some darkness. That's what we learn, right? That's what's in our soul, and that's what needs to be cleansed. And we're learning that to cleanse that, we need to soak. Amen. And I hope we're all soaking. We're all soaking. Amen. Worship means to have intimacy with God, and when you do this, he is unwilling to be contaminated, and I'm going to say with your soul. Again, the author says with the spirit. Worship is a privilege. And this is something for you to get, online students. I know you're following Apostle. You've been sitting in the classes also. But remember, there are times when the Bible refers to heart. It means soul. And in this instance, as our author is talking about spirit, we know that he's talking about soul. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. So God is unwilling to be contaminated by your soul that needs to be cleansed. Amen? That's why it's so important for us to sow.
Yeah.
Worship is a privilege to those who seek him in spirit and in truth, and who can have clean hands and a pure heart. Amen? It's a privilege. Oh, my. Look at that. Worship. I mean, you know, you're praising, and then all of a sudden you bump into that worship. Amen? It's a privilege because God has shown up. And then I think we talked about John 4, 23, 24. God is seeking the true worshipers. I got 5 minutes. The author says, worship is the climax of praise. Seek God until his grace and presence are poured upon you. Your goal should be the glorious manifestation of God. I put in parentheses his presence upon all things. Praise helps you to find God and to enjoy him in the fullness of his splendor. Every area in your life that the enemy has taken hold of must be lost when God comes on the scene. When God comes on the scene, and it's not, the enemy, he doesn't stand a chance. Amen?
Amen?
And we have to know that. We have to know that. We have to praise God and then bump in. You know, because, I mean, you know, you can't on purpose walk into worship. I'm going to worship. No. You have to praise, and then create that atmosphere. And then God shows up. And then, man, when you find yourself, you worship in him. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. That's it. Thank you, Jesus. We will pick up here on next week. The author talks a whole lot about praise and worship. So it must be pretty important. Praise and worship. And then he spends a little time on all of the other prayers so that y'all can become familiar with all the other types of prayers. Amen. I do encourage you, read the chapter, because a lot of times, you know, I might just get like the gist of what's written, but you know, he goes into to more detail. Like I said, you know, I missed that whole thing about judgment there, and I'm so thankful that, you know, somebody reminded me. Amen. Glory to God.